The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
We're back. Yeah. Yes, y'all, we're back. It's Flatted Gridiron, Voice America Sports. It's Dave Lockhart, your host, giving you a shout-out. Also joining us from the Dirty South, our southern resident, Mr. Brian Harper. Brian, give our listeners out here a shout-out, please, sir.
Yes, how's it going, everybody? I know you guys got way better weather.
It's going to be 80 this weekend, brother. 80 degrees this weekend, and it's beautiful out here today in lovely Arizona.
Yeah. I'll be waking up a pound of leaves in 52-degree weather.
Looks like winter has not left, or fall has now fused and passed over summer in the Dirty South right about now.
It is ridiculous, man, but... You know, hey, I'm alive, I'm breathing, man, we got a chance to get another show, man, so that's what's good.
Well, it definitely is good. Give a shout-out to your missus, and I'm going to give a shout-out again to our listeners. Feel free to give us a call here at Planet Gridiron. We're going to, once again, thank you for joining us Friday. This is March 1st, 2013. So, B-Hop, a week has passed, and so has the 2013 Scouting Combine. As all our listeners know, we are a football-dominated show, and I did partake in what many have believed to be what I call the T-Shirt Olympics, but also quite boring, but I don't. Brian, did you get an opportunity to take a look at anything this past weekend?
Of course, you know, I don't miss the combines. I always wanted to find out, regardless of the numbers, who do I look at that might have that it factor, that had an it factor. So last year I was riding with Russell Wilson, and this year my it factor guy will be Cordarrelle Patterson, the receiver out of Tennessee.
Okay. I kind of like Cordell, and I think you and I talked about Mr. Patterson. He is a JC transfer, 1 year at the Division I-A level in Tennessee, playing at the highest level in the SEC conference, and quite candidly, very, very dynamic and can produce in a number of different ways and facets in the game. Brian, I watched him catch touchdowns, run by defensive backs. I saw him run reverses, run like a wide running back in the open field. I've watched him return punts and kickoffs. He appears to be a very dynamic athlete and a dynamic player that will certainly be able to help some NFL team in that first round. Your thoughts?
I just think that you give this guy who came into that team, did what he did in 1 year from a JUCO, I can only imagine what he can do once he gets used to the speed of the game of the NFL. So I'm imagining him to do some great things in the next couple of years. And for those fantasy football buffs, I'm not a fantasy football guy, but from just making an impact for his team, I'm expecting him to start. I really think, when I say impactor, the next level receiver coming out, that's going to be a Pro Bowl type receiver.
He definitely possesses the athleticism, and frankly, I'd like to break it down a little bit, at least during the first segment, with respect to what we observed in the combine, so we can get at least some of our listeners up to par with what exactly was going on and who stood out. And if we start out first with the linemen, I did watch a bit of the linemen, and first of all, the most shocking thing was the large human being who played at Arkansas Pine Bluff that ran that fast in the 40. Did you have an opportunity to watch this young man?
Yes, I did. And I was, being an Alabama guy, just sitting out there bragging on the Alabama line and Womack and Fluker.
Yeah.
And it takes, and it's for you and I to be Afro-American, and you take a lot of pride when you see a guy from an HBCU come out and do that. Because they don't normally get the respect.
Right.
To know that there's still some great athletes that the NFL, including the NFL, will find these guys.
Absolutely.
That find guys that can come out and get invited to the combine for them to come up and show up for good numbers.
Absolutely. And this young man I received the invite to play in the Senior Bowl. And I've made it my goal this year that next year I'm going to join you. I am going back down as I used to always and go to the Senior Bowl. Hopefully Mama will let me take our youngest, my son, Miles, and we get an opportunity to spend at least half of the week down in Mobile, Alabama, and look at some of the workouts and see that give him something to aspire to. But in any event, this young man apparently went to the combine. His name is Terron, T-E-R-R-O-N, Armstead. He's projected as a tackle. He played as, Brian has informed you, our listeners out there, that this young man played at a historical black college university. We call it HBCU. And got the opportunity, the rare opportunity to perform on a national stage. And a young man acquitted himself quite well, running a surprising and very fast 40-yard dash. And just to give you an idea, we're talking about a very large human being weighing 306 pounds. Ran a handheld time of 4.69 in the 40 and ran an official 4.71 faster than, let's call it out, Manti Te'o.
Go ahead, sir. Manti Te'o.
I did. I had to go ahead and say it. Ran faster than Manti Te'o. But was even much more impressive was the fact that he had such good feet. He was able to perform the drills at a very high level. And I think he has done well enough to – he will be definitely a second-day pick somewhere in that second or third round. Your thoughts also, Brian, with respect to this young man, Mr. Armstead?
Sam, I was about to say, would you say that this kid really pushed himself by from being a free agent, if that?
Yeah.
A second-round pick?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's be honest. I mean, you went from – because I was sure he went from suspected, if he gets invited to camp, possibly being cut early, to a solidified second-round pick to somebody. You make it to the second round, unless you're just a total head case, somebody's going to spend some time in making you better.
Oh, yeah.
And you out of that, take pride in the fact that they're going to be able to have a chance to have a future for his family as well as for himself. So to jump five rounds.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a matter of showing up. I mean, like I said, give credit to the NFL. We don't always like what the NFL does, but you got to give them credit for finding this kid and give them opportunity. And give credit to the kid
to
come in and show up.
Well, right. Yeah, because he definitely came prepared, and we're going to single out some other players, but more or less right now we want to talk about them as a group. And I'm not going to lie, I'd like to try to focus most of our energies toward the NFL and this combine and some of our, you know, thoughts as to what occurred and who, again, has pushed themselves up the board, if you will, and also did themselves a disservice. And building upon or speaking still directly with respect to the offensive lineman workout, you know, the two tackles that you're hearing the most about are this Eric Fisher out of Central Michigan versus Luke Jokel, who is the left tackle who protected Johnny Manziel out of A&M. You know, when you first hear the names of the schools, you automatically would think, well, Luke Jokel. And apparently going into this thing, Luke Jokel was listed as number one on the big board.
I like, you respect what Luke Jokel did, but then when you see what the kid is doing at Cincinnati, I mean, I got to give credit for his due.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
If it was me, regardless of aspect, I have to look at the fact that Johnny Manziel helped you out as an offensive lineman.
Yep.
He helped you out. So, little things that you really don't catch with the naked eye because you're so amazed at watching Johnny football. Kind of take chances, and you don't have to block as much. You can let a D lineman take himself out of the play because you know Manziel is going to try to make a play. So right now, I would dump ship and I go to kid from Cincinnati. That's just me personally.
Okay, and actually it's Central Michigan, but we talk about the same kid.
Central Michigan,
yeah. No problem. We're talking about the same gentleman, Mr. Eric Fisher, you know. And I heard our in-state resident expert, if you will. His name is John Gambadoro, who does a good job. I'm not knocking him, and we all have opinions here. And certainly my opinion is no more important than his, who's claiming that for Mel Kiper now to rate Fisher ahead of Jokel is a joke. No pun intended. But I strongly disagree. One, many people have not seen this kid from Central Michigan because, as we would all know, he plays at Central Michigan. So he doesn't get the same level of exposure or opportunities as one would have if playing in the SEC. But if you saw him perform in the Senior Bowl, and I agree, it's only a snapshot, and compared it to what Luke Joeckel did as well, this young man, in my opinion, performed better. Building upon his performance at the Senior Bowl with respect to the Combine, he goes in, and he's more impressive than Luke Joeckel, according to all the prognosticators and the so-called experts, that being Charlie Casserly, who I think everyone would agree knows what the hell he's talking about. Two, Mike.
Can I tell your listeners something?
Go ahead.
I went back, and I went on YouTube the past, just a few weeks ago on weekends. I miss football so much.
I know, you and me both, bro.
I YouTube Oklahoma and Texas A&M, and I really saw, I'm like, man, you know what? Texas A&M offensive line, they're okay.
Yeah.
But if you go back, and all your listeners need to go back and watch Texas A&M Oklahoma, you'll see that Joeckel is not as efficient as everybody's made him out to be. He got beat quite. I know Dave loved to hear this part. He got beat quite a few times by the DN and by the linebacker from Oklahoma quite a few times.
Right.
And if you notice, a couple of times, Manziel had to roll away from the pressure that they would bring from Joeckel's side. So,
right.
I would just go back and look at that before we just bash the kid for Central Michigan.
Well, absolutely. And in fact, on the big board, Mel Kiper now has moved him being Eric Fisher, ahead of Luke Joeckel. And Charlie Casserly even said that based on what he has observed in the Combine, Senior Bowl, and tape, he's saying, now, I got to go back to the film, because his thought is that this Fisher kid has outperformed the Joeckel kid. I just think people are going to take a pause, if you will, because the young man plays at Central Michigan. But, you know, let's not, you know, not too far away, if you will. You have always been able to find very good players that don't necessarily play on the national stage. You know, I was thinking about that last night. Let's think about John Mobley. You know, he was a first-round pick out of what? Kutztown State. He was a first-rounder, you know, so, and I can dig even deeper, you know, if you want to go way, way back. Hey, the first pick in the draft held by the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I know we're going early 70s here, was Mean Joe Green. Where did he go? He went to North Texas State. So don't let the smooth taste fool you. If a person can ball, the person can ball. So don't let you necessarily get caught up in the fact that one kid played at A&M versus this kid playing solely at Central Michigan.
Look, we didn't go back that far. Pro Bowler plays on my brother's team, considered one of the best guards in the game, Jari Evans.
Yeah.
You know, he slipped all the way to the fourth round. Because he played at a very, very small school in Philadelphia. So a lot of people understand that. And I mean, it all because, you know, Jari got hurt in high school his senior year, and then a couple of big schools bagged up off of him and ended up having to go to a small school. So trust me, if you're a role grader and you are putting people on their butt, even though the competition is less, but you can simply put somebody on their butt as an offensive lineman, then you got to really start looking at it, because pancake blocks aren't easy to come by.
Absolutely, and I don't care what level you're playing at. That could be from Pop Warner all the way up to the highest level, that being the NFL. To understand technique, leverage, and to be able to execute more times than not, hey, that is unique in and of itself. And in my opinion, again, Eric Fisher has jumped over Luke Joeckel, and I am not going to buy into the fact that just because Joeckel played in the SEC. And that's not to say we're beating up Luke Joeckel, because his resume and pedigree speaks for itself, too. He's very good. What we're trying to say that is it really that much of a difference between Fisher and Joeckel? My position, Brian, is no. And, in fact, I find Fisher to be the better of the two athletes.
But what I understand, what people just mean, and they get into these arguments on these sports centers. Okay, so what? Luke Joeckel is down to number two or number three tackle. Do you know how many offensive position tackles
that
are in college football?
Correct.
And you want to be mad that now you're not the number one tackle? People need to really understand that sometimes it ain't always about the numbers. You know, Kobe Bryant, last time I checked, went 13th in the NBA draft.
That's right.
So people shouldn't really always get caught up with numbers sometimes. So it's total different.
Definitely so, man. So before we move on, you know, we're going to go into that first blur break. We'll wrap up at least the offensive lineman for this segment by going about speaking about the performances of like Chance Warmack. You know, he was slow. He ran 5.5, but candidly, I don't care. I kind of feel like Mike Mayock. His pedigree and what he's going to be asked to do in NFL in no way correlates to how fast he can run a 40-yard dash. That young man is a road grader. He's going to be a great guard. And I'm hopeful that if he's on the board, that and if Fisher's not, we being the Cardinals give great consideration to drafting that young man.
Well, you know, I got friends on the Alabama coaching staff that always talk to me about these guys. And they said he's the NN, the nicest, nastiest player you will ever see. Like, I promise you, Coach Sam is always saying, man, Womack is the NN. The nicest, nastiest player you want to see. And they said it's nothing when that kid, whether you be teammates, drills, or whatever, when that kid put on those pads, you are now the enemy. You are, regardless whether it's scout team or whatever, he is trying to destroy you every time. But when it's over and done with, hey, it's like we can go eat ice cream together. He said, practice, they have to blow the whistle. He will maul D-tackles, nose-tackles, linebackers, wherever you get to. He going to maul you as if y'all ain't even on the same team. But when it's over with and everybody walking, he's smiling, man, we everybody go get ice cream together.
Well, you know, on that note, man, let's go into the next first break. Mr. Engineer, kick and roll the music. Stay with us and hit us up, 888-346-9144. Planet Gridiron, it's your boy Dave Lockhart, giving a shout-out to our main man missing in action, Roland Hill, but also being blessed with the presence of Brian Harper out of the South. Stay back. Come back with us.
Captured by kings through the storms of days after, and to the earth from the sun through triple darkness to plaster with a force that can't be compared to any firepower.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Hey, son, why so down?
Well, gee golly, Dad, Coach doesn't let me play. I'm always on the sidelines, and I can't seem to make any friends. I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, here, son, why don't you try some of these PlanetGridiron.com pills? It says right here on the label, they'll get you bigger, faster, and stronger. They'll even get you friends.
Wow, thanks, Pop. You're swell.
Wow, Dad. This stuff really works.
I'm starting bigger, faster, and stronger,
and everybody loves me.
PlanetGridiron.com is not a pill and cannot make you bigger, faster, or stronger. It is a website dedicated to players, coaches, and fans engineered to get you better on the field and beyond. PlanetGridiron.com.
Where football lives.
Hard Hitting Radio is a new kind of sports and entertainment show. Your hosts are NFL veterans Mark McMillan and co-host Byron Evans. It's an hour of hater-free radio every week. You'll hear interviews with top athletes, celebrities, coaches, and fans. It's humor, hits, and conversation. Hard Hitting Radio is on with McMillan and Evans. Listen Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Network.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Once again, we're back, starting round two, Planet Gridiron, Voice America Sports. It's me, Dave Lockhart, with Mr. Brian Harpiner joining us from that dirty south. And ladies and gentlemen, before we went on that break, we were giving much love and much shout-out to the Combine, and that's something that, again, as a football-dominated show, that certainly is on the forefront of our minds. And so we're going to build upon that discussion, Mr. Harper and myself, that is. We discussed the performance of the offensive lineman with two individuals, Luke Jokel, Texas A&M tackle, as well as Mr. Eric Fisher, and spoke briefly on Teron Armstead, the young man out of Arkansas Pine Bluff. At this juncture, Brian, I'd like to move over to the tight end group because they're really the three, I guess, tight ends that are standing out right now, and that's the what's the guy? Ertz. And there's Tyler Eifert out of Notre Dame. Ertz is out of Stanford, and we had Mr. Escobar, the three E's out of San Diego State, who are on the forefront of everyone's mind in that tight end group, which is pretty deep. Brian, I'm going to kick it over to you and let you talk about them if you had an opportunity to review the workouts of these young men, at least their highlights, and give me your impressions of what you thought.
I don't like none of them.
God, no, purr it.
I don't like none of them for what I feel like. If you're going to play tight end, what they're asking tight ends to do in today's league, the best one I would say was the young man from Notre Dame.
Okay.
But I don't know if he can. I don't know if he can continually separate from linebacker. He's got great hands. Mm-hmm. Heck of a route runner. I didn't see him block. They didn't put him in a situation that if Alabama's a 3-4, and I know they wanted to throw the ball, they kind of throw the ball on Milner early, and he has good hands, but he never, ever, ever, ever blocked the Jack linebacker for Alabama. Never.
Okay.
Continually. That's another game that I went and watched over against him. So I just don't like any of them from a blocking standpoint. The other two, to me, aren't fast enough to really come in and make an impact. Will they get on the NFL roster? Yes, but will they be guys that I feel like, you know, two or three years down the road, that they can make it to the Pro Bowl? No, I don't. None of them. It's just not.
Yeah.
It's just not a small area this year.
You know, you heard a lot of hype going in, and you certainly look at those workouts a lot differently, perhaps, than myself or someone who is not as schooled or versed in either coaching it or, you know, being around the game as much as you are, in light of the fact that, to all our listeners who don't know, Mr. Brian Harper is a coach, an actual collegiate coach, NCAA coach, Division I-A coach. Let's get it right. Don't get it twisted at Jacksonville State. So he definitely has and brings a lot of or a different perspective than just saying, hey, this is what I see. For me personally, I would agree with Brian from the standpoint of I thought Eifert, I believe is the correct pronunciation of his name, gentleman out of Notre Dame, did separate himself and established himself as the number one tight end in this class, 2013. But what does it really mean?
Still pick him third round. It's not somebody expecting to. I wouldn't take him first or second round.
Okay. No, I'm with you on that, and I also agree with you. Although separating and designating himself at least or taking the mantle as a number one tight end, he is still, in my opinion, not a first-round draft pick. I agree with you. I think at the best that he could do, depending on what he does on campus workouts, potentially I could see him what I would call late middle or late second round, but more of a third-round draft pick.
Yeah, I'm saying third. And maybe it was just that night that Notre Dame had a bad game.
Yeah.
But like I said, I'm telling any listener, go back and go to YouTube, BCS National Championship, and when they did throw him the ball, how he didn't fire off to even like stop the outside linebacker from scraping to the ball. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, gosh, is he ever going to get there? It's little things like that. I mean, I know he played at Notre Dame, he got good hands and has some good numbers, but I still don't think I would not go beyond. I wouldn't reach for him in first or second round, third round, and then hopefully, hey, make him pan out. But I still don't think nobody, even the kid from San Diego State.
That's Escobar.
Yeah.
Now he came in with a lot of hype. I know who really liked him was Mike Mayock, who certainly has watched more film on him than maybe you or myself. And he was really high on this young man. But frankly, I didn't see that one. He was inconsistent in dropping the ball some, and we understand that. You're going to get somewhat of a pass on that. You know, you got nerves a bit involved in that, and you got, you know, catching and running routes in an unfamiliar area. So you know what? I'm going to go more to the game tapes. Then I will just rely solely on a workout at the combine.
But you know what put these West Coast kids on the map at tight end all of a sudden? The tight end went to Cus Gronkowski.
Well, he went to my alma mater, right. Absolutely. He went to my alma mater. Yeah.
Right. And now everybody want to look over the West Coast. And anything that's close to Gronkowski, they want to say he's extra. And like, no, Gronkowski was a special breed.
Right. It was Gronkowski. It was him. No question. Now, the kid that got some I guess some fanfare, if you will, in that area, playing the tight end would be Chris Gregg. You might remember him. He's the Arkansas kid who got hurt, was been hurt for the past 2 years, but physically he's a specimen, and I think athletically you have a lot to work with because we're dealing with a young man that ran 4.4 in the 40 out of the tight end position. He has shown the ability to catch the football because, again, of the injuries. His numbers are not going to say that they're on a par with some of the guys that were being mentioned prior to the combine. But his physical tool set may eventually set him apart from these individuals if he, one, can stay healthy, and, two, is willing to work. Brian, are you familiar at all with Mr. Chris Gregg?
Very familiar. He's an SEC kid.
Yep.
I'm glad you went on and said it because I don't want to sound like I'm being like a hater, as they say. I'm glad you want to say that he can stay healthy.
Yeah.
And so hopefully, maybe it can be like Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson had injury issues.
He did.
All throughout the fall and got in the league, became very durable up until last year. They come back and become even better this year. So I'm going to let you go ahead and have that observation. I think you're right. Me personally, I'm going to say I don't like any of the tight ends this year.
Okay.
There's always something about it. It's something where they're not fast enough, can't block, or injury prone, or don't have good hands. I don't like none of the tight ends coming out this year.
Well, it is a deep draft, if you will, with respect to tight ends. And although there might not be that par excellence, that, you know, guy, that Gronkowski, that, you know, even I don't even know if they're a Rudolph. You know, they went to last year to Minnesota as one of the earlier picks of the second round. I don't know if anybody's a Kyle Rudolph. But we know that they're deep, and we'll have eventually some of these kids getting an opportunity to contribute. We just need to dictate or determine what round they're going to come. They're going to go. 3 minutes. We got 3 minutes to break, so I want to keep humping this one.
To say, like, if you look, okay, we'll stay on the tight end just a little bit.
Okay.
Name any of the tight ends that you see that can do what Jason Witten do. You're just going to say, and I know Jason Witten's five, but that look like they can do some of the things that Jason Witten do. And we'll go down the roster of what you see in the pro tight ends do. What's the young man from the Texas that's doing pretty good? I'm not even going to go to the obvious, like the
Gronkowski,
or anything like that.
Yeah.
But can those tight ends that we name, I can't even call the guy's name, do what the tight ends from the Texas can do?
Okay, Owen Daniel, you talking about Owen Daniel?
Right.
Okay, yeah.
And the answer is probably not.
Right.
You know, those are, you know, and Owen Daniel is not considered an elite tight end right now in the league.
And he's a good one. You're right. I would love to have someone like him on my team. You know, he's a consistent route runner. He can block, big body.
There you go.
Runs well enough.
There you go.
Yeah.
And none of these guys right now fit that mold. And he's not even in the top, you know, Odell's not even considered in the top five of the teams in the league. So we're trying to get probably the best one out of Notre Dame, who's the top one, who routinely got whooped in the national championship. So you can't block Nico Dunson or anybody like that. So now we're supposed to ask you to come in there, and if you go to the visit where you think you can block Terrell Suggs or Patrick Willis, I mean, come on now.
Right.
That's all I'm saying. Like, those are little things that I look at if I'm drafting this kid.
And right. And we're not saying they're not going to be able to contribute. We're just saying that where they will be drafted, you can forget about, or what their performances have dictated or shown thus far is that they're not worthy of an early round pick. That's all we're saying.
Are any of them better than Pettigrew out of Detroit?
No.
No. Are any of them better than Jimmy Smith out of Cincinnati?
No.
No. I mean, like, we're going down several teams. Like, we ain't said to Gonzalez. We're not naming the elite tight ends. And these kids aren't nowhere near the guys that we're naming. So that's what I'm saying. I mean, that's why I said I don't like any of them. I don't want to crush their dreams, and I'm not. I'm sure they're going to get drafted. But right now, they're backups, and I hope they come down and make a tackle on special teams at best.
Yeah. And they'll get, like I said, they'll get the opportunity, they'll get their day, and, you know, perhaps they'll give an opportunity to prove us all wrong. And we all wish them well. Nobody here, you know, is a hater or is throwing daggers or casting aspersions just for the sake of doing so. Only being real, folks, only giving you our observations, and if you want to join in, 888-346-9144. But you're going to have to do it on the other side. Mr. Engineer, take us to that second break.
Forehead slick CDs. What up? What up? Come and get them.
Yo, come here. Come here, man.
Yo,
didn't I tell you not to come around here with that shit? Huh? Get in.
Yo, I keep my enemies close. Now I'm ready to squeeze. Watch them all cry and make them get on their knees.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Hey, son, why so down?
Well, gee golly, Dad, Coach doesn't let me play. I'm always on the sidelines, and I can't seem to make any friends. I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, here, son, why don't you try some of these PlanetGridiron.com pills? It says right here on the label, they'll get you bigger, faster, and stronger. They'll even get you friends.
Wow, thanks, Pop. You're swell.
Wow, Dad, this stuff really works. I'm bigger, faster, and stronger, and everybody loves me.
PlanetGridiron.com is not a pill and cannot make you bigger, faster, or stronger. It is a website dedicated to players, coaches, and fans engineered to get you better on the field and beyond. PlanetGridiron.com.
Where football lives.
What if there was a program that brought the best in sports and the best of entertainment together in one place? It can be done, and Darnell Autry proves it every week on Outside the Spotlight. In this program, athletes and artists come together to share their success stories, hobbies, professional projects, and more that will interest not only the sports fan, but fans of entertainment and other human interest stories. If you have something you want to ask your favorite athlete or entertainer, listen for Outside the Spotlight, Fridays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, on Voice America Sports.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
And welcome back. Joining us here at Planet Gridiron, Voice America Sports, Dave Lockhart. Hit us up at 888-346-9144. Never want to forget my main man that's always helping me out with that southern flavor. We have Mr. Brian Harper giving us the shout out. V-Hop, to yell at him for me again one more time.
Oh, yeah, we're at the halfway mark, baby. But, you know, we don't slow down. We just keep getting momentum. So, hey, if you miss the first start, I don't know if you're going to be able to catch up, but do the best you can out there in Arizona.
That's right. As we always chop it up as we do here on Fridays. Every Friday, you can always catch us here. And today, we are talking about the Combine, one of my favorite times of the year. And we've already hit up on some of the players, and now we want to move on to the running back group and the wide receiver. The need for speed was definitely on display at the Combine in Indianapolis. And Brian, let me let you start it out. Who really caught your eye?
Okay. Man, it was so many dudes. I'm sneezing because both threes are throwing on trees out there, man. I'm like, man, out here running both threes. Well, of course, now, I said earlier on the show, Mr. Cordell Patterson, the guy in Tennessee, but that's the one that's my head factor guy. Now, personally, since we're talking receivers, I am a Denard Robinson homer.
Okay.
He's running fast at time. But if I'm the general manager of Detroit Lions, I'm the GM, kid played at Michigan, I want to get a little bit more ticket sales. Titus Young looked like he'd have lost his mind. So I would draft Denard Robinson, hopefully in taking the third round. And there's nobody on the field right now for Detroit that can do something with the ball better in their hands than Denard Robinson. You got to get him out of catch, yes. But if you get this kid the ball in his hands, I don't know if there's anybody more excited than this guy.
Does he remind you in any way with Mr. Antoine Randle L. coming out of Indiana and then had a very nice career playing with both Washington Redskins and most people probably remember him with the Pittsburgh Steelers?
He's fast and he's bigger than Antoine, but let's be honest, if he's better than Antoine Randle L., dude has some heck of a hands, man.
Yeah.
Has some heck of a hands to play receiver. And so if Denard works on that and can get the hands and the route running down, hands down. So those are the guys stuff from a receiver standpoint. I know, of course, my man, what's his name, Trayvon, or whatever, the running back.
Yeah.
Guy came out, like I said, we knew he was going to fly. Me personally, I can't help it. I like Mr. Kenyon Bonner, even though he was suspect, really didn't grade high. But between him and Eddie Lacy, those are my running backs that I would love to see well. I think Eddie Lacy is going to do well because he's big and he's finally healthy. I think no matter where he goes, he's going to be he's durable. He carried the ball a whole lot this past year.
Yes, sir.
So my running back would be Eddie Lacy. Of course, Mr. Trayvon. Look, man, look, when you run that type of time, you're going to be used somewhere.
Yeah.
You are first round possibly easily. It's all about how well your character interview went. And that's a lot of listeners to understand. If you interview well, come on, if you interview well and you come out there and you run it up 4-3s and season 4-3s out there like that, I mean, the kid is easily first or second round.
Exactly. And in my impressions of the running back and the wide receiver, let's put the wide receivers first, the need for speed, as I call it. These young men were getting it. Now, at that juncture, there had never been a documented time for Mr. Tavon Austin, the young man out of West Virginia, who's a hybrid, very athletic, can do a number of different things for a team in terms of the return game. He certainly can play in the slot. And even,
Noel Devine with some fit. Let's go ahead and say that.
Exactly. Definitely. So you can line him up in the Wildcat, and, you know, he's not a big individual, so he's not going to play running back. But I remember even when
don't sell him short, Dave. We can't sit there and say, we got Darren Sproles. I hate when people start out there, well, he's too smart, he's not going to play running back. Let's see if it's kicking ball. That's all we got there.
Well, if we're going to rely on that, Brian, then I will retract my statement because we already know he can ball. It ain't no question. This young man can ball. So, you know, I followed him and watched his tape from when he was in high school coming out of the Baltimore, Maryland area. Very exciting, very dynamic. Just because he's kind of, I'll call it spinally built, does not mean he can't contribute, doesn't mean he can't be durable. You can look at Jacquez Rogers, I agree with you, and Darren Sproles, who are small in stature but are big in game and big in heart. Tavon Austin jumps out to me as being very impressive. Off the air, many of you all might not know of this individual, but in fact, Brian got me hip to this young man at the very beginning of the season, and that is the number one rated wide receiver on almost everyone's big board, and that's Correll Patterson, the gentleman who's coming out of Tennessee, played only 1 year, but he has demonstrated to anybody that saw him, the man has game. Brian, your thoughts on Mr. Patterson?
Like I said, I'm looking at this guy to be what I would call a Nasir Larry Fitzgerald type. He's just as raw. His hands are great. Can do a lot in the open field, and he's big.
As
a matter of fact, let's go ahead and step it up, and let's just go ahead and put him in the category. He might not play as physical, but he will get open. If you're going to put him in a category like Calvin Dunn, he may not be as physical, but this guy is going to catch a lot of passes. Let's just go ahead and call him Terrell Owens 4.0. These guys, that's just how he does. And I feel like I can say that if Terrell Owens is listening, he's a friend of mine, so he probably won't be too offended. And both of them are from out of played around that area. You know, Terrell played at Tennessee Chattanooga, and not a guy played at Tennessee. But if you're a fantasy guy, I would get this kid quick.
I do like him as well. I thought he ran very well. He performed very well in the other athletic, if you will, drills in terms of the broad jump and the vertical jump. Again, very impressive, and I'm looking forward to seeing how his skill set transfers over to the NFL. His Donard Robinson, here's my thing with him. I think the young man deserves an opportunity to see if he can develop into a contributing player like a Randall L. He's by far faster than Randall L. I think Randall L. probably made more of a natural transition, if you will, from the running back to the wide receiver position. Probably went a little bit smoother than I think the transition is going to go for Donard Robinson. But because of the dynamic skill set that he has and that he's played in a big-time program on a large stage and he has performed, he certainly is worthy of the opportunity of bringing into a camp and just developing.
I would use Denard the same way we use Trayvon. Denard is terrible. I talked with him. There are a couple things we said off the record because he trusted me not to say a couple things concerning the Alabama game and things like that. But basically, I mean, the guy plays with no fear. He's the last strongman that everybody gives him credit for, mm-hmm. like you said. And, so if I'm sitting here, I'm a coach, I want to get him on kickoff return. I want to not just put him at receiver, but everybody's doing a read option.
Yeah.
And for teams who are going to be stubborn, that want to come in and still run a 4-3 and don't respect the read option, then what I'm going to do is I'll at least put him back there and make him come out of it, make him uncomfortable, because for his tight speed, all it takes is him to get to the edge and get a steal on the linebacker, and if the end comes too far down, and I'll take my chance with Denard Robinson and a safety on the league if he's out there in open field.
Not a bad matchup. Not a bad matchup. You know, in the running back group, you and I talked about this young man. Many of them might not know. Once again, an SEC product. In terms of a performance on the field, within the context of the combine, Nile Davis out of Arkansas put on a show. That young man did over 25 reps on the bench press, ran official 4.37 in the 40. Broad jump well over 10 feet, and he vertical well in excess of 36 inches. I think he's around 38 inches. And he performed well on the field, showing that suddenness that you have to show and ability to change direction. The only question for them is, can he regain in terms of actually transferring all of that back onto the field and perform like he did when he was a sophomore that year, Arkansas, well, with Ryan Mallett at the quarterback, went to the Sugar Bowl against Ohio State?
I think he is just as good, if not better, than what DeMarco Murray is from Oklahoma to Palace.
And that's it. I like DeMarco Murray.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Like I said, he's just as good, if not better, than DeMarco Murray from Dallas. Like I said, it's all about his durability. Definitely a smart kid. I mean, I'm looking around right now in the NFL, a number of people from the Miami Dolphins. That's who I want. Close to home, SEC kid. If I'm Miami Dolphins, Nile Davis is the fact that I take on the board to go out there and help Teddy Hill out. So I don't know what the Dolphins look like. I don't know what the Dolphins feel like they need.
They need a running back, and they need a home run hitter. You're right.
Right. So Nile Davis definitely be someone on my list, or better yet, Cincinnati Bengals, you know, they're probably a consistent run game away. I think they got a bag, but get somebody like him to take the pressure off of A.J. Green and the other receivers, if Andy Dalton gets better, that would be a perfect fit. So if I'm Marvin Lewis, I definitely look at this kid and go in there. So that's just me.
Yep.
If you want a big bag. Now, if I'm playing somewhere cold or somewhere extremely warm, I want a big bag like that.
I love Nile Davis, and you definitely have pointed to some teams that certainly could use his services. On the downside, if you will, I am not impressed with Monte Ball. I'll say it right now, never have been, and not impressed with any of the running backs that come out of Wisconsin just by virtue of the fact of the line that they play behind and the style of the game that they play. What I mean by that, ladies and gentlemen, is that almost anyone that runs 4.6 or a bit faster will rush for anywhere from 1,400 yards or more if you can stay healthy playing in that Wisconsin system. And the facts and the history of all the backs that they've brought through there definitely supports the statements that I'm making with respect to any Wisconsin running back, Brian.
It's just something about the Big Ten. For some reason, if they just don't get through the NFL and pan out, you have a few, you know, Pierre Thomas,
yep.
great back for the Saints, but still hasn't been able to be an every down back. We can't really say, like, as far as like a legitimate and serious back coming out of the Big Ten other than Eddie George.
Right.
They never have that promising career. I mean, hey, you know, we all know about it. We like Ron Dane, but Ron Dane couldn't stay on the field in rotation at best sometimes. So I'm like you. It's about the Big Ten running back that because of style of play, when you look at their numbers, you can't be impressed with it because – You're gonna get the touches in the Big Ten. So, unlike you, I wouldn't be too fooled by the numbers. I would wait and maybe let him be a second round pick.
Right.
I wouldn't jump up and perform at all.
Exactly. And, you know, raising some eyebrows was a gentleman that I know you're familiar with. I was certainly familiar with going into this. And that's Ontario McCaleb. He's the I guess the resident backup, because that's what he was at Auburn, but he was very dynamic. And when he hit that unofficial 421. I ain't gonna lie. I was like, you see that LeBron James commercial in the barbershop with the ooh after the dunk? That was me.
Oh.
But the feet were up like the Fat Albert Gang, dog. Young man.
When he ran it, Dave, I looked at it and it looked like a 4-3. I'm like, dude, it's moving.
Exactly.
You
know? Exactly.
And it's funny that me and Roman, we were sitting on his bed, we were watching the combine. And he was like, man, this guy putting it down.
He digging, eh? Strong. He was digging.
He's like, this guy's putting it down. Know what Roman's wearing when he's on his bed? This guy from Auburn going to do. You know, he always got that. He used to be hard on the Auburn guy. But, man, when he came down, he's like, man, this dude is putting it down, man. I was like, okay, he went from a relatively unknown to late first round also.
You're going to give him a shot. You're going to look at him. He went from someone probably not even being drafted, free agent style, to, like, somebody seriously looking at him because he definitely can affect a return game. And on that note, B, we're going to have to take that one last break before we go into the last segment. Mr. Engineer, hit us up, please, sir.
They say it's lonely at the top in whatever you do. You always gotta watch motherfuckers around you. Nobody's invincible. No plan is foolproof. We all must meet our moment of truth.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Hey, son, why so down?
Well, gee golly, Dad, Coach doesn't let me play. I'm all on the sidelines, and I can't seem to make any friends. I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, here, son, why don't you try some of these PlanetGridiron.com pills? It says right here on the label, they'll get you bigger, faster, and stronger. They'll even get you friends.
Wow, thanks, Pop. You're swell.
Wow, Dad, this stuff really works.
I'm starting bigger, faster, and stronger,
and everybody loves me.
PlanetGridiron.com is not a pill and cannot make you bigger, faster, or stronger. It is a website dedicated to players, coaches, and fans engineered to get you better on the field and beyond. PlanetGridiron.com.
Where football lives.
This week on The Revolution with Jim and Trav, that's presented to you by Outdoor Channel.
On this week's program, we'll have deer expert Dr. David Samuel and shed dog trainer Jeremy Moore.
Hey, we'll also have deer biologist Grant Woods and the host of the Bucks of Tecumseh, David Morris.
When we talk about shed hunting.
And it's all brought to you by Outdoor Channel plus Ram Trucks.
Wednesdays at 1 Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. I'm Jim Ferguson. I'll see you on the trail.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
And we're coming around the horn, finishing up with Voice America Sports Planet Gridiron this happy March 1st, 2013 Friday. Happy Friday to you. Hitting us up at 888-346-9144. Mr. Brian Harper joining us. And folks, this has been a football-dominated show, to say the least. We have spoken solely, only about the combine. And frankly, folks, we're going to close it out solely and only talking about the combine. B-Hop, next up on the scene were the defensive backs. In my mind, defensive back. Even though I play wide receiver, folks, I have to bow down. The best athlete on the field is generally the individual that plays defensive back. And we saw the need for speed, but it was some Top Gun speeding going on out there, dropping 4-3s like it was nothing.
Oh, man, everybody, kids are so fast. What I want to see, and they all played the ball and the drill and stuff well, but is it going to translate over to being a lockdown corner?
Okay.
And unfortunately, guys like Darrell Revis and Deion Sanders have spoiled us, man. And the NFL has always put his lockdown corner. And so I don't know if those guys got that type. He should be fast, but I don't know who got that type of. I'll speak firstly real quick on D. Milner. I like the way D. Milner plays, but D. Milner severely fooling himself that if he thinks he can come into the league and think he just press fed every receiver out there, he's going to get embarrassed.
Yeah.
He's going to get flat-out embarrassed. So I've watched the game for a while. My brother and I, you know, of course, he's a family guy watchers. So my biggest thing is he's going to struggle with some of their stronger receivers in the league. Everybody else, it's all about their schemes. I've seen them fast, man, but like I said, I want to see how well they're going to be able to cover at the next level.
And my thought is this: you hit the DB I wanted to talk about was D. Milner. Of course, I know you would be very familiar with him in light of the fact he comes out of Alabama. I think his performance, and folks, bear in mind, this young man still needs surgery. He decided to forego surgery for the repair of a torn labrum in one of his shoulders in order for him to perform at the combine. And I think, without question, he has solidified his position as the number one ranked defensive back, and will be the first defensive back off the board at this year's NFL draft, with a electronically timed official 4.38. Shocked me. I knew he could run, but I didn't think it was 4.38 run. Go ahead, big guy.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I was gonna comment on it, but go ahead.
Yeah, I had no idea he could run that fast. Vertical, he was amongst the group of individuals that verticaled over 40 inches. Mind you, out of all the athletes there, the only ones to vertical in excess of 39 inches were all defensive backs. Not even the receivers did that. But in any event, right, we had multiple 40-and-a-half vertical jumpers, one of them being Mr. D. Milner. A broad jump well over 10 feet again. And he showed and demonstrated the fluidity and change of directions with the flipping of the hips that shows the laxity and the flexibility that is loved by NFL scouts. I thought he had one heck of a performance with respect to the combine.
Like I said, biggest thing is, man, that I want to see with these guys coming out of the Nick Saban team areas, being efficiency. Drake Kirkpatrick was a big corner.
Yes.
Big corner last year. Had some hard adjustments in the NFL because they get to the point, and you do so much success, you get to the NFL and you think you can just kind of get in and man up and play a lot of man on these receivers, and sometimes you don't it doesn't translate over. So the biggest thing, like I said, I've seen in D-Boulder's game is that we don't want him to put himself in a situation where he's getting outmanned out there on the corner. I got a case in point. New Orleans Saints one time were playing. New Orleans Saints were playing against the Detroit Lions last year. And they got up on the Lions by 20 points. And a certain corner ain't going to call him out, but he, you know, played. And he goes, man, Ron, I'm tired of him by this Megatron guy. I'm a press. You know, I'm
okay.
And Roman said, he says, you know what? I got you, dog. I got your back. Don't worry about it. Yeah, go ahead and press him. And Roman said he is so, like, geeked up to see if his boy is going to press Megatron at the line, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so he's kind of watching. The ball is snapped. He even watches where the ball is going. He is watching his corner of Megatron. And he said Megatron took him and threw him 5 yards to the left, almost threw him out of bounds because he's trying to press him. What Roman told him is, hey, look, don't do that again. You got wife and kids in the sand. Don't do that again.
So what you're trying to tell us, Brian, is that what D. Milner will soon understand if he tries what works for him a lot in Alabama is that these are some grown-ass men across from you.
Yeah, like, Jonathan, I'm talking about, he's just Megatron. I mean, it wasn't a push. Roman said it wasn't a push. He threw him like he left his feet. Yeah, no, he couldn't even touch the ground 5 yards to the left. And of course, Rose said, thank goodness Matt Stafford did not even see him and threw it the opposite side. Like, would have been a touchdown easy. He said the game would have went from 20 points to 14 points easily.
Well, Mr. D. Milner, I hope you're listening because that is what you're going to be dealing with on a weekly basis.
If you watch it, other than Mark Barrett, if you watch it, a lot of the defensive backs that come to the Saban era, Kareem Jackson was out of the
yep.
Texas, struggled.
Yep.
Drake Patrick struggled because you know you're successful, you won national championships, and it's hard to unteach you what you've learned in 4 years, and when you get to the league, that you just can't just jump up and man to man and press. You're gonna have to really, and even though his hips look good and drill, his mentality is, those hips are saying that I'm using these hips to break on the ball, and I done just beat my receiver up to death. And that's just not going to fork over well to the NFL.
Well, with that being said, and before we shut out, it looks like we got about 5 minutes left in the show. There are some highlights I'd like to talk about. One is Mr. Tyrann Mathieu. Many people might know him as the Honey Badger. Now, he was not impressive in the bench press, four reps at 225. What does that suggest to me is, well, the obvious. He's allergic to the weight room. Is definitely. That's the first thing. Two, it does make me question, well, young man, you knew what the test was going to be. Why, in my opinion, were you not better prepared? However, he runs way faster than anyone envisioned, timing 4.47 handheld and official 4.50. That is fine for someone who's going to be guarding primarily where he is, which is in the slot. And he, man, I actually watched his drills, Brian. He is very fluid in the hips, very fluid. And he is very dynamic, as we all know, playing at an extremely high level. Certainly, the off-the-field issues, character issues, and the size gives you pause and makes you question. But in terms of his athletic ability, and can he perform at the next level? I will say without doubt and no question, this young man will be able to perform at the next level if given a chance.
Well, I'm hoping that if nobody takes him with his character issues and things like that, mm-hmm. I would love him to the fourth or fifth round. And even end up in New Orleans, let's be honest. Not like New Orleans is known for this astute, stout defense this past year. We already know there's some issues. Don't get me wrong, the Saints got corners. They got injured early on, like White, Corey White.
Sure.
That guy will be back. We got to know. They'll get better. And, of course, there's a reason that Spaz got fired. We want to address that.
Yeah.
So they'll be better with Rob Ryan. But if I can, you know, somebody will be helping under the cap, like Tyrann Mathieu. Keep him close to home. Maybe that's a good thing, so he don't get out there and get NFL money, get too wild, and have
exactly.
Bring his friends. I'm just, you know, you fly your friends out there, then you're not focused and stuff. But you keep him close to home, where somebody in his family. So if I'm the GM, if I'm Mickey Loomis, I would look at him. If he's still around fourth round, I think he's worth the risk. I mean, he's worth the fourth or fifth round risk because he can trust him.
And no question. Okay, and finally, Brian, let's end the show on what the guy who received the most notoriety but is not going to receive it on this show and on this day, and that's Mr. Manti Te'o. My impressions of him, because we're up against it, I'm going to make it short and sweet. One, did not perform well. What the combine generally will measure is one, an athlete. And based on what I'm seeing, he is not a great athlete, but in his defense, he's not a Deion Jordan. He's not the more athletic linebackers that you did see perform. But I will say, in his defense, he does appear to be a football player, and he can contribute somewhere. But it has to be the right scheme, and you have to ask him to be able to perform and perform tasks that he can perform. Don't ask him to do anything outside of the rim of his capabilities, meaning, a la, I need to be an athlete here, because I don't think he'll be excel in that type of system. And, Brian, I'm going to let you close us out. Give us your thoughts with respect to Manti Te'o.
Man, I'll be honest with you, even though I make fun of kids running the 4-1, real quick, like I said, I went back and watched the Alabama Notre Dame game also. He reads well. Did he make the play? No. But he reads his keys pretty well. That means he can find the ball. He just has to make the play well. Who knows? He may have had a lot of time. So what I'm going to do is, well, I'm sure we'll have a show by the time he does his next pro day.
Okay.
He can run well at his next pro day and can kind of settle in, because he seems to be a very, very naive kid when it comes. It's either one thing. This kid is either very naive or he's a great liar.
Right.
And one way or the other, we're gonna find out. So I want to see how well he does his pro day. He does read his keys very well. So if he can start tackling the ball like he did, we saw earlier part of the season, then you had a kid in play. But I'll wait till pro day, and then when the start of next season, see if he can play. But from a linebacker standpoint, he's smart. He's smart. Dumb in life, but smart football player. I'll give it that.
And I will too, folks. Don't beat the young man up too bad. We got to shut it down. Got to go. Have a wonderful weekend to all our listeners out there. You all should be thanking, like I'm always thanking, Mr. Brian Harper for joining us from the Dirty South. You all peace. Be good. I'll see you when you see you. Next week, folks, Voice America Sports, Planet Gridiron. Dave Lockhart signing off.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.